A very interesting conversation. Never think the way that you can talk to the bean inside. You mentioned about talking to the bean.
Yes, those conversations that we meet here every day or whenever we meet, whether it's a podcast or those, I mean, specifically when people are attending, is the being, is being.
Why do you come to that conclusion?
This is how it is. This is how it is. This is how it is. Yes. Because being is a present moment. Abigail, good afternoon. Happy to see you here. Yannis, would you like to repeat the question? Because now Abigail is listening. Shabbat Shalom. Can you repeat the question that Abigail could listen to it as well?
Yeah, I was asking ET during the last conversation. She mentioned that whenever there is a meeting, you're meeting, and she mentioned that it is the being that we are meeting with, and she's talking to the being, or we are talking to the being.
Yes.
So I'm just curious as to how that conclusion has been arrived. Is it because consciousness is within us?
Yes, there is no condition in a way to the consciousness, I mean, infinite consciousness. It's beyond time and space, so there is no condition to it. It always is.
So when we talk to another person, is it always to the being in the person that we talk
Yes.
to?
Yes. Because once the other person is answering, he's answering at the moment, at the moment of happening, at the moment of being. Even if you ask him how was it last week, still the answer would be from this moment of speaking. So there is only one, in a way, mode, is which is being, and we are sharing this being. And when sharing this being within us, it's just yes, Yanis.
So it is regardless whether the person is aware that he or she has the divine consciousness within her or within him.
Yes. It's working beyond our heads. We don't need to understand how it works, but this is how it is. This is the truth.
Yeah, so they
We
don't need to know that, you know, so we can be speaking. Every time when we talk to someone, it is really to the being talking to.
yes, just an example. You go somewhere. Yes. You walk in a new city and you ask about certain street, where is Mercantile Street? You ask someone, let's say you don't have a GPS, and you ask someone, excuse me, where is Mercantile Street? Whether he knows or doesn't know, and he will tell you yes or no, if yes, where, if no, I'm sorry, the moment that he answers you, it doesn't matter what. This is consciousness speak. This is the bare moment. This is the being. And it doesn't matter what about the conversation is. Excuse me, what is the time? Where is this and such street? Do you know the way to the train station? How many roads do I have to take to arrive to the airport? It doesn't matter what the topic of the conversation is. But the exchange or the conversations happen in the moment of being.
Okay, understood.
It
Because
seems, yes.
maybe it's just a different term that that's been used, because you always use the word being, whereas I tend to look at it as when I'm speaking to someone and speaking to the spirit within him.
Yes, yes.
So it's yes. Sometimes it's a, because of the different term that we that's been used.
Yes, yes. Yeah. Sometimes it's being because the spirit is in the heart. So sometimes it's a being, Havaya in Hebrew. And it is in the moment and the spirit is in the heart. Yes, so it's the same.
Yeah.
It's so different.
Yes. So even if one is not responding, when you're speaking to that someone, you're speaking to the being inside that someone.
Yes, yes. Fernando asked me, I think it was several days ago, how do you speak to a teenager, let's say, about the age of 15, about those topics? Just, and I said, just speak, because beyond, let's say, the mental moment, we perceive them as 15 years old. This is how the document says, this girl or boy, they are 15 years old. But beyond the paperwork about the teenager, there's being mode, and you speak to the being inside, regardless of she or he understand, name it or not. You just, whenever you speak to someone, even when you say hello to the cat, there is a morning, let's say there's morning and you go and you see the cat, there's a few cats here, yes? So when I see them and I say today, good morning, and they make like kind of gesture with their eyes, they close their eyes and accept, like they say good morning with the eyes, like they blinking. So at the moment, it doesn't matter if it's like human or animals. Everything is being. And it doesn't matter if you speak to your neighbor about what topic. You speak about something or you ask and there's answering and there's like few words or exchanges in the elevator like happened here yesterday. It doesn't matter what the topic is.
Yeah, understand.
Just an example. Just an example of exchanging in the moment. The bus arrived to the last station. People just left the bus. Leaving, the bus driver stays in his seat. Comes a person in the front, wants to enter the bus. Well, everybody's leaving because it's the end of the line. And the new person that stands in front, in the front door, against the driver, asks, excuse me, brother. This is how we spoke to him. I was evidencing in the morning. Excuse me, brother, where do you go? Yes? And the driver said, I'm in intermission, meaning that the bus is not going and I'm, as a driver, not going anywhere because now the schedule says that the driver has to go for intermission or pausa, morning pausa in driving. So it was a little exchange, seemingly between two strangers or a bus driver and a passenger, like guest here in the place, does not know where the bus is going, does not know the maps of roads and so. So it doesn't matter. Do you understand?
Yes.
It's a life vibe. It's a vibe of life. It's a vibe of life. Yes?
Because what's that spirit and life?
Again? Can you ask again?
Words are spirit and life. A word spoken is spirit.
Yes. Yes, yes, definitely. Definitely. Yes. Good morning, Lucas. Yes, we are very happy to see you. Yes, Yanis?
Yeah, understood. Thank you. Thank you so
much.
Very
well. You can ask whatever you like. This is why it is important to go to life. You know, you leave the house, say good morning, hello, shalom. It doesn't matter which language. There's like little exchanges. And this is the vibe of life. And it doesn't matter if you say hello, good morning to the cat, or someone asks where's the next school or where is the next bus. It doesn't matter. This is the vibe of life. I just came from the bus. A lady asked me, where is Truman Street? And I say, oh, look, and the next, how do you say, in the next junction, there's a piazza. Yes, like a circle. How do you say, square? And from the next square, there's a Truman Street. You see those buildings? And she said, okay. I don't know her. She does not know. And she said, you know what? It's a very long, not long, but it's like far enough that I could not make it on foot. And I say, okay, lady, there's a bus here. You can take the bus. And she said, but I have a car. I parked my car here so I can take the car. So there was exchange. I don't know who is this lady. She doesn't know who I am. It doesn't matter. She asked what Truman Street is. And I said, okay, here, from the next, this, you know, from the next square ahead of you. And she said, is it street parallel to the sea or 90 degrees to the sea? Does it, the road goes parallel or with 90 degrees, like vertical? And I said, it's parallel. So there were a few words of exchange. And it doesn't matter. But this is being, this is what happens in the moment. I did not predict that she will ask me. She did not predict to park a car very far away from Truman Street and trying to walk on foot. And she doesn't understand where the street is or where the map is. She's a newcomer. It doesn't matter at all. So whenever there's a meeting, there's speaking, there's a conversation, it happens in the moment. What comes from people when they speak? Yes, and it doesn't matter. Sometimes there's like vibe of peace, sometimes people are tense and they're taking it out. It doesn't matter because there's no judging in it because it doesn't come from a persona. It does not come from a persona, though we are educated to think that each one is individual, it's a person, it doesn't come from a persona. It just comes as it comes in the moment. So it's quite simple and it's very alive because you cannot direct it. You cannot prepare the text beforehand. It's not that actors, they come on stage and each one get the script or the play and they recite their line, and now Mr. Smith will say a sentence to Mrs. Smith, and she will answer. It's not like that. It's not manufactured. And this is the beauty of it. This is life. This is life. Thank you for your question. Abigail, do you have any question? Would you like to share something? Please feel free. There's a great saying by a spiritual teacher. His name is Ramana Maharshi. He said, the great mystery... The great mystery is being ourselves reality. The great mystery is being ourselves reality. Meaning it happens in the moment. Someone can think, yes, can think, I can go to this city, I can buy this and this and this in his mind, a thought, yes. But whatever rises suddenly is thirst, and this is mystery. He feels thirst, and he wants to drink, and he drinks, and then he feels a bit itchy, he is hungry, he feels hunger, and then he eats. So he can think many thoughts, but this is the mystery. Why it is mystery? Because suddenly thirst is rising. You don't think about it, just rise, thirst. And then you drink. And after a while, there's like a little bit of appetite. which is rising, or the need to eat, it rises and then we eat. We don't plan those things because we are trained to think that you can plan your meals and you and so on. But it's just rising. It rises. Suddenly you feel thirst. You cannot predict in which moment, yes, you will wish to drink. You can go or walk in the day with a bottle of water next to you, like we do. And whenever we feel thirsty or thirst, we drink. But we can never predict the moment that you will hold the bottle and drink. And this is the great mystery. You can walk with a sandwich in your bag, let's say. Some people, they do it. And in case they will be and they have to bite on something or a snack or something or chocolate bar, it doesn't matter. But the moment you will pull it and taste it, the moment in which it will happen, we cannot predict. You can have a coat in case it will be raining. Or umbrella, but in which moment you will open the umbrella or wear the coat, it's not predicted, it's not registered in any play or in any book. It will happen in a moment or not. We can be, so to speak, smart and prepare an umbrella for a rainy day or a coat, but the moment when in which angle you will feel the wind or wear the rainy, you know, so we cannot predict it. You can prepare, but not predict.
Yeah, but the preparation with is something that
the preparation is like accommodation to the season. Yes, you prepare because few scenarios might happen. And we prepared. It's great to be prepared. But to prepare for the moment when somebody will ask you something, for this we cannot prepare. And what will be the answer? We cannot write the script before the script is happening. I could not predict that someone will ask me, a lady, when I leave the bus, where's Truman Street? I did not think about it, never. I don't know. And suddenly it happened. Or one day we were moving next to the schoolyard. There's a fence around school. And in the spring, in between February and March, there is yellow flower. And it's like, has the taste of lemon. And the children like to pick this flower and to have the sense of a lemon. So we were moving next to school and one child was walking next to the fence and asked kindly, excuse me, can you pick me those flowers? He was in school. Probably there was an intermission. He saw two people are walking next to school. He says he was approaching the fence and asked me, can you please pick me some flowers? He wanted to have a sense of flowers next to him. And I said, yes, I pick little ones, like they look like bells, yellow bells. And I said, here, you can have them. And he was so happy. He just wanted to feel the flower. You know, sometimes in school they spend many hours, sometimes five, sometimes from 8 to 4 between walls. And he wanted to have a sense of nature. Little flower-like. 5 centimeters, really tiny flowers. But I did not predict it. He also did not predict it. And it happened. Of course, we can buy flowers in the flower shop. But such a, how do you say, happening in the moment made all of us happy. That he forgot to ask for a flower and it was possible. Sometimes you walk next to school, the children play with the ball and the ball flies outside of the fence. and they ask, can you please return the ball? So we turn, they are so happy. So you cannot predict those moments. Yes. Spontaneous and effortless. This is being. Spontaneous and effortless. Abigail, Yanis, Jill. Why it is a life, it's not in a way calculated. People say in English calculated risk, calculated speech, which is cold, everything is. This is not, we cannot calculate those things. We cannot predict them. They just happen in the moment and we are participating, all of us, in the moment. Like a cat will fall on your window. It happened to us. The neighbors, they have 3 cats. And when the spring came, suddenly one of the cats, Zachary, decided to take a walk. And he just appeared here in the window. He was so terrified because he was caught between the 2 floors. You cannot predict those moments. You cannot predict that one summer night we were with the air condition on. It was June, very, very hot. And there was like little space in the window, like really, really. There was blinds and there was like little opening, few centimeters. At the middle of the night, I wake up to drink water and I see a movement. It was very dark this night. And I notice a movement of a cat. And there is a cat that comes here very often. Her name is Muriel or Molly. And I noticed, though it was dark, it was not Molly, because Molly is white and gray and has like green eyes. And this cat, it was a cat, but you know, like people, cat, they have like different characters, they have different movement, they have different a temperament. And this cat was like ginger, most of it, and white, and it was like lazy daisy, and her eyes were like more like round and mellow, and Molly has like green diagonal eyes. And I noticed that. It hit me, first of all, that it's not Muriel. Because many times Muriel are coming with us, or she comes by herself, you just meow next to the door, we open and she comes. And I was wondering, how could it be that this cat, the ginger cat, could enter the house, the apartment, if nobody let her in, not from the window, not from the door, and she just appeared at 3 o'clock in the morning. It was shocking. And she did not respond like Molly, because there's no relation, previous relation between, you know. So who could implant such a cat when everything is just, apparently she entered, I don't know, they do it, she managed to enter through 5 centimeter space. She came from the neighbors. She also, we saw in the morning that she was having like a band, like a tag on her neck, I don't know, a bell or a name and a telephone number, but she managed to enter. She was walking, probably, I don't know, it was hot, they're very active at night, and she walked and she managed to find a passage or chill, maybe the air conditioning surrounding her. She managed to come through, and she was here in the middle of the living room, just never seen her before. It was quite a shock, because you did not enter this guest, and I don't mind about cats, but I could not plan it. I did not predict it. It just, you find yourself in the moment, responding to a cat or to animal you did not enter, you did not give any consent, just for the gag, and suddenly it appears. And what you do? And you feel strange, emotionally strange, because it's not Muriel. It's like someone exchanged your babies at night. Just or a friend, or no, not a baby, but somebody changed your friend. There's a new entity here. So it was funny. But you don't predict those things. You don't. And then she appeared the second time. Those things are happening. There's no a writer that sits next to a desk and write those scripts. It just happens. Who will command a cat, or what happens in a cat to walk and to climb a few floors in a high building and enter different apartments? Where do they get this command from? You cannot predict that you'll go to rest at night and there's at 4 o'clock in the morning, you will hear a sirena, how do you say, siren, and then you have to go to the bunker. You don't, when you go to rest or you're going to sleep at night, I don't know how some people read, I used to read, and your eyes are just, and you rest for a couple of hours, you don't imagine or you cannot predict that suddenly there will be a siren. At 4 o'clock in the morning. And this is happening also. Most of the time, or yes, Yanis. Did you want to say something?
No, Iti.
Can you repeat?
No, I did a mute. Can you hear me?
Yes, now I can hear you. Now I can.
Yeah, no, because you're talking about all these spontaneous moments that happen.
Yes.
It's like life is just coming towards us without us knowing.
Exactly. Life are coming towards us.
And we,
this is it.
And we take it so much for granted.
Yes.
But it happens all the time, right?
All the time. This is life.
Yeah.
We think, because we have this ability, so to speak, this is a mechanical ability, to think that we are the thinkers, we are initiators. But without the sun and the moon and gravity and all these structures of the universe, nothing could have happened. Not a flower could grow, not a tree could give its shadow. The tide, fishes. Have this ability to think. We don't have it. We are granted with some kind of mechanism that enables us, so to speak, to really, let's say, calculate. And we think that we are the thinkers. We are the kings of thoughts. It's just, there's a little calculator installed inside, and we give it too much importance. When actually, life is just happening, coming at us. Yes? Because We are part of life.
Then why does the Torah tells us to choose life or choose death? There is a choice, right?
Choose life.
Yeah, in the Torah, it says to choose life or to choose death. You know, it's a choice. But you said that there is really no choice.
Yes.
So this is something that I'm still debating over my head all the time.
To choose life is to be in the moment. This is to choose life. And to choose death is... Yes, yes.
But can you be in the moment all the time? You cannot, right?
You are in the moment. The heart is not, let's say, the heart, every human heart or even animal heart, it's not beating outside of time. The beat of the heart, tack, 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 tack. It's in the time. The thoughts, what you say is basically, I'm wandering inside, the thinking is taking over as usual. And you think about something, and thinking is like dreaming, so you're not being in the moment because you're engaged with what the mind, the brain is offering you as a dish. So you're there and you're not being. But the heart is beating. And all the happenings are happening. And since the it's happening in time, so suddenly there's come thirst. Yes, because it needs water, it needs to cool itself. So even if we are sitting in a meeting, very important meeting, brainstorming, the heart is beating and whatever physiological process is happening, and it's getting, the body's getting hot and it needs to cool down, and suddenly we feel thirst. So even if we're brainstorming on some kind of a scenario or, you know, with people in a meeting, still the thirst will show us the moment, and we drink in the moment. We cannot be outside of the brain will always, or the mind will always suggest us alternative reality. People have sentimentalism, they're drifting, they invented past events, they take one detail and they build castles around this detail, and it makes them king of the past, or they take one detail and they build around it castle of the future, and they're not living in the past and they're not living in the future because both of them are making. This is the tree of knowledge. They make the past and they make the future. The only possibility is to live here and now, is to be. This is the split. This is the split of the tree of knowledge. To live in the past, this is our own making. You just invent things, cluster them together, and you say, this is my past. You look through an album. You see a few pictures. You invent a story. This is one way. And another way is to live in the future. You also take one detail and you weave few details around it, and it's, so to speak, future. But both evenly do not exist. There's only this moment. This is the split of the trilogy. Basically, to your question, to choose life is to be in the moment. To choose death, in a way, both past and the future are not existing, are not in the moment. Because in a way, to choose this is to make something which does not exist. It's invention. We invent the past. Whenever we think about the past, we invent a new scenario, we invent a new play, a new movie. Yes, yes, Yanis.
No, so I was just thinking, like, when Weinrib, he spoke, he said that Cain killed Abel. Is the body killing the soul?
Yes, definitely. This is it. This is what it means. People take it literally. Yes, like two brothers, one pull a gun and shot the other, like in a Western. Yes. When Cain, yes.
Yeah, so the body kills the soul.
Yes.
It's still wrapping around my head.
The body kills the soul. How and why?
Soul is eternal, right?
Yeah.
The soul cannot die.
Yes, but by denying it, you kill it. Yes, by denying the existence of the soul, you kill it. Because you don't let it influence. You deny.
Ah, okay, understand.
By denying, you kill it. You don't give it a space.
You don't acknowledge it.
Yeah. Let's say, yesterday I saw a movie, it's interesting, from 83, but the theme of the movie was beautiful. There was a teacher that was hired to teach, a private teacher, to a child that was very, very shy. He was so shy that he could not go to school. His father described him as a shy, but he very intelligent child. He could not go to school, you know, to meet friends or to play sport. So the father read about the teacher, so he went to the teacher's house. The teacher used to receive students in his house because he was after an accident. But the father says, I cannot bring the child. He would never leave the house. Please, I ask you, please come to visit the child at home. This is the only way. You are the only one that can think, help the child, because they were afraid, the parents. And the teacher came the next morning to visit the child, and was a great chemistry. And the father introduced the teacher to the child. He's about 10. The father introduced the teacher to the child and says to the child, he was sitting next to his computer in the beginning, in the 80s, you know, with the green commands and so. He says, this child, this is how he spoke to the child. This child, above his, not as the child exists. He says to the teacher, this child lives in a shell. And he left the room. The father, he said to the teacher, I leave you to it. He closed the door. And the child continued to write commands in the computer of the 80s with green. And he says to the teacher, the father lives in a shell. I don't live in a shell. Very intelligent child. And this is just an example how by denying the child and his spirit and his tendency for art and for writing, he just killed the child. This child lives in a shell. This is the definition. This child is like a matter, like an object, lives in a shell. I bring a new... was beautiful teacher, because there's such a beautiful friendship between the teacher and the child. Yes, by denying something, we kill it. The next day, the father wanted to take the child to hockey. Of course, such a child would not like to go to hockey. But you have to go. Everybody goes. This is the time of the season. The father is a politician and he's a businessman, and he wants to take a slack, cut a slack in politics and business, and to shovel the child into a hockey game while he's making his business outside. And of course, this child who refused to go to school and to meet friends, of course, he's not desire or have a will to play hockey. But the father relates to him like a piece of meat. Many parents relate to their children just as a seat next to the table, say thank you that I put a plate next to your seat, that you have warm water for shower. Many children do not get, not just children, many humans don't get the relation of a soul. They get the relation of an object, of a piece of meat. That you manage from right to left, shovel from left to right. It's not new. Relate to human beings or animals, even pets, like objects that you need to manage. How they, in every child, in every pet, there's a living soul. You don't need to manage them. They have the ability to live life completely without a manager. But people tend to think that if they will not manage children or pets, they could not survive. It's quite simple. Yes, Yanis.
Yes, understood. I didn't see it in the way that you saw.
It's a movie. What is the movie called? I will send you later the name of the movie. It's a beautiful thing. Kind is basically the cognition, the ability of human to think. Once we can think, we can use names, we can build sentences, we think that we have it all, that we can conceive any concept, we can calculate, we can understand, we can draw all the planets, all the galaxies, we can map. And it's not so.
Yeah,
once we believe... That, yes, Yanis?
Because all that is so visible. It's so real.
Yes. It is visible.
And real.
It is... The great mystery is being ourselves reality. Remember this. The great mystery is being ourselves reality. It is being seen. And what is being seen can also be unseen. Those are just phenomenon. They appear. And we tend to give a lot of respect and absolute power to what we see. What we don't take into consideration, there's like a source that animates all those universes, which is unseen, unpredicted, unconceived. And this is Kind. Kind says, in a way, I see, I calculate, I speak. There is no source. There is no soul. What I see, I can calculate, I can have it, I can pack it, I can market it as a technology, as an application, I can get money for it, I have it all. This is killing Abel. It doesn't have to be like you see somebody take a shotgun and kill someone. This happens inside one person. I can calculate, I can capture, I can handle my own life, not listening to this voice of being. You don't have to make anything. I can build a great carpentry shop or industry, and I can market cupboards and drawers. I can make money. Yeah. The Dead Zone, the name of the movie is is the dead zone from 1983. Christopher Walken is the teacher. It's a great movie. The Bible does not speak about relations between, let's say, two twin brothers, one kills the other. Everything happens in one being. So the tendency, ability to think, shut down the soul, ignores the soul, killing the soul. It's not between two, it happens in one person. This is what happens, let's say, for alcoholic people who use alcohol daily or drink a lot. They have a notion of control, of thinking, overthinking. It just drives them mad because it never stops. This is how it builds. And they want to shut it down. They're overthinking. Some of them be bank managers or really great and professors in universities or in hospitals, yes? And they want to shut down this thinking. It drives them mad because it has a lust of control. It takes over. So they want to shut it down and they started drinking. At the beginning, one glass of whiskey and it shuts them down. And after this, time is moving, it starts again, the noise, they want to shut it down. So one glass is not enough, so they drink two. And then it's not enough to shut the noise and they take three. And this is how it goes. And when drinking is like this kind scenario. I just want to have peace from this. So I just put myself to sleep, which evokes even worse scenarios. And by drinking, you're just killing Abel, killing the soul. You can shut the mental activity with alcohol. You can. Because it's the same cord. The thinking is alcohol, and you cannot shut the thinking process, which is alcohol, with alcohol. You have to just lift your hand and say there's something else beyond this, which I cannot see, I cannot sense, but it's enough to believe that there is one. And then this is an open door to listen to it, or open window to listen to it. Any questions? Abigail, Yanis, Marcus, Jill, any questions that you would like to ask? If not, I would like to wish each and every one of you a beautiful week. Thank you all for being here with us today. Thank you for asking questions, telling us how the weather is wherever you are. And we could meet here on Monday at the same time. Tomorrow is Sunday, relief. Thank you, Yanis. And on Monday at the same time, we shall see you here. Toda rabah and shalom, shalom.